Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night. This is Grey Eye Smith, and I have a new co-host starting tonight, and his name is Daniel Pacino, and I'd like to welcome him to the show, and we'll get started here. one second. Daniel, how you doing?
Hey, great. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah. Clear as well.
There you are. Excellent. I was hearing some feedback, but that sounds good. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be part of this show, Gray. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you're in some bad company now, so we'll bring on another
bad company
call.
That's right. We have bad company.
Yeah. This one's right along with us here. This is the Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Welcome to the
new
format of
Hi,
Bad
Daniel.
Company.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, I hate when that happens. I hate talking over people. It's so annoying. But that little delay always gets you, doesn't it? Ugh. Anyway, hello, Daniel. Lovely to hear you. And hello, Gray, my dear.
Hey, yes, absolutely.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, Gray, we're getting some feedback. I think it might be you, Gray, with the feedback.
Oh, really? It might be my headphones.
I think so. When you talk, I can hear it, yeah. Weaver, I'm going to start talking to you, Weaver, searching of dreams, because you're up, like, all the time. I don't know if you ever actually sleep.
I don't much. No, I think I've got out of the habit now. I think I'm becoming a vampire without the blood bit.
Ah, there you go. Well, while Grace fixing his headphones, I'm going to make a quick announcement. So as Grace said, I'm hosting with him now on Saturday nights, which is great. And I really want to thank Gray, Phil, and Bobby, Captain B2, because basically what happened was I have a lot of personal things going on this summer, a lot of stuff going on. And so I kind of reached out, and basically the schedule was going because I was the co-host with Captain B2 on Exploring Ephrasis. And I just couldn't do it. My schedule was looking very strange. So I reached out to Phil, and what we basically did was everybody kind of rearranged their schedule a little bit for us and for myself, I mean. And I'm going to be co-hosting with Gray, and Gray is now going to be co-hosting with Bobby on the other Saturday night. So thank you, everyone, for helping us out, and everyone came together, and we had a great decision so the shows can go on. So anyway, that is really the announcements for how the shows are going. Gray, how are you doing? Were you able to adjust your – oh, there you go. Much better.
So tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. It's the world's largest website for poetry, and it's free to join, so feel free to check it out. Also, we have anthologies available that help support these shows on Amazon.com. And they're hardbound, big, beautiful books full of poetry from poets around the world. So have a look at those and check those out. Tonight's show is based on a contest that Daniel and myself ran called Your Favorite Summertime Poem. And so that'll be the gist of tonight's show, plus a little bit of open poetry as well. All right. Okay, so...
Yeah, let's get going here. So, yeah, I've posted the first one. And, Weaver, why don't you start us off? I think that would be a great way to start, if you want to read the first one.
Why, thank you. I'd be honored. It'd be like raising a glass of champagne to you both. Okay. Summertime. Sunlight glistens through windows clear. Birdsong echoes so loud, so near. Irises like tissue paper open in number in the greenhouse tomatoes and cucumber. The foxglove perfectly formed white bells, flowers in number in different pastels, pinks, whites, yellows and blues, bergamot red for my tea infuse, purple hyacinths, orange English rose, pale cream jasmine, flowers tickling my nose, heady scents drifting on the wind all the time, the weather getting warmer in early summertime. End poem.
Excellent, Weaver.
Beautiful.
And
that was
the original Bad Company. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Sorry, what were you going to say, Daniel?
I was just going to say, yeah, that great read, Weaver. And the original Bad Company man here, Gray, you should start us off, which you already were. Go ahead.
I thought it was wonderful. You know, it really captures the the scents that are on the air in the early summertime. And beautiful imagery, you know, you can see these blooms in the bounty of summer. And I thought it was a wonderful write on the subject of summer. So excellent job. And great read, Weaver. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Daniel, did you think of the poem?
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to comment first that I didn't even plan this, but I should have known. I'm drinking a Samuel Adams Summer Ale just for the show. I just realized I was drinking one of those. I don't know if they have Sam Adams beer over in England, but that's what I'm drinking right now. From Boston, the brewery is, so perfect for this show. I thought it was really, really neat, and I really liked the feel of this poem. In the greenhouse tomatoes and cucumbers, you know, that is one of the things, and I forget this as something for summertime, but it's the time for the gardens, right? We all put our put our gardens in the springtime, but then when the summer comes is when you're really starting to harvest a lot and things are starting to come out, like the tomatoes and the cucumbers and so forth. But I really like that part because to me that is summer, is your garden and your own garden that you're kind of, you know, picking everything with. And he talks a lot about the other foxgloves and purple hyacinths, or English rose, everything kind of blooming and coming to life and being alive, and that is really the way the summertime is. So great job, Adrian. I thought this was a beautiful little brevity. Absolutely. Looks like we have another guest.
Area code 914. Hello, area code 914. Who's calling, please?
I was just listening, but I think it's cool that you have a doorbell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's from another show, but I have use of it, so.
Does anybody want to read the setting?
I'm sorry? So did you just want to listen on mute then, or would you like to comment on the poll?
No, I'm just listening. I'll chime in.
Okay. All right, Greta Weaver, why don't you comment?
Yes, I would love to. This was a wonderful poem to read. It actually made me smile. I do. I mean, everybody, we love flowers, don't we? And it's just so invocative. Just makes you think about summer and things growing. So I thought it was a happy, sweet, enjoyable piece of poetry. Thank you, Adrian, for making me smile.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. And all right, we are going to move on here as well. We are unscripted and unrehearsed, and just this is live radio. We got going on. I'm going to post the next one here. Let's see. And Gray, why don't you go, and then you can pick the readers after that. I'm going to post one by Kendall for you.
All right, here we go. So this is called Sundressed. Sundressed Smiles by Kendall. All her curves come to the most beautiful end. Got me going to bed, daydreaming. I'm sleeping in. Her crooked smile's just another curve that sets everything straight. Easy on the eyes. Her language of love, I want to translate. When she bites her lip, I know she's ready to negotiate. While she can name any price on the real estate, I'm debating my time for volunteering, watching her curve past alluring. End poem. So what did you think of the poem, Daniel?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And another thing that, you know, you think of summertime, at least I remember, you know, from being a kid, was going out on the dates and just it was a time of just kind of fun and romance, you know. And not that any time isn't when you're a kid, but that's what it brought me back to, was really kind of those summertime you know, like I said, going on dates and just kind of being with girls. My son actually did that today. He said she was just a friend, and maybe she is, but he spent the day with this girl that he's known since high school. They went around and did a bunch of stuff, and that's what I remember from that. You know, and continued with my wife when we met in college, and it kind of brought all of that back of, you know, that just kind of romance and just seeing that beauty in everything during the summertime, especially, you know, when you're out on dates and so forth. So it brought all that back to me. So it was really, really nice. And I wanted to give Ken Dahl some credit. He said, I just wanted to share this. I already have a trophy for this poem and don't wish to participate. I'd like to see a new poet and a new poem get the opportunity. And how super nice is that of Ken to take himself out of the running just to let other people get a chance to get a trophy. Nice job with that one, Ken, and beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, it was just lovely. It was just so sweet. I love that first line. That first line's a doozy. All her curves come to the most beautiful end. I wouldn't want my curve to come to an end, but it sounds lovely. And her crooked smile, just another curve that sets everything straight. That's so good. That is such a good line. Yes, it's really lovely. I enjoyed it. So thanks so much for sharing with us, Kendall.
Great comment, cool. Thank you, Weaver.
And you got to read it, Gray. What do you think?
Yeah, so I liked it. You know, you can see her smile. You know, I mean, some people's smiles just make everything all better. And she, you know, especially if it's a crooked smile, you know, there's something that's alluring about a crooked smile, you know, and it does set things straight, you know. And then easy on the eyes, her language of love, I want to translate. You know, I don't think there's much need of translating in the language of love. I think that, you know, it's just spoken or it's not, you know, I mean, I guess there is a translation between male and female aspects of love, but overall, I think we get the gist of it. And I really liked where he says, when she bites her lip, I know she's ready to negotiate. Well, she can name any price on the real estate. You know, some people just have that control that we give them because we want them to have it. So it was a beautiful write, you know, very charming. And, you know, I agree about summertime being the dating season for sure when you're young. You know, picnics and all that kind of stuff by the water. Yeah, so a romantic time of year for sure. Absolutely. All right, Daniel, what do we got next?
All right, I'm going to read one by Jenny the Deep. Continuing almost a tradition, I had a show with the Faziana the other day, and I think I read two poems by her, so I'm going to do three times a charm. This one by Jenny is called Wandering Love Blossoms in the Skies Tonight. Soaring with wandering Wari wisteria clouds, he spreads his jasmine scent all over town, masking misery many already see. Howling to the plum raspberry sky, he weeps. Lost, lonely, and afraid, he hides in his nest. In the trees, tucked in branches, he rests. A new day, a new dawn, he is able to sing a new song. With spring blossoms love, spreading his wings, he flies above. Ambitious to find his own special one, daily he glides under the lemon-drop sun. In pursuit of happiness in life, he leaves behind his worries and strife. No baggage needed where he is going. Above the purple haze clouds, joy is glowing. At sundown, stars rise again, sparkling like fireworks in the skies. Finally, a new love begins. Dawn to dusk, day or night, spring can brighten up our lives. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Daniel. You know, I like that poem. You know, it was charming, you know, and you can feel his happiness, you know, as he finds love to welcome into his life. And I just wanted to read her author's notes. There's 138 happy words on love, but I based on the quote, as the sun and Mother Earth play peekaboo at dusk, he splashes pink and plume gray colors or on the sky and perfumes the breezes in jasmine and night musk. Then a male sandpiper whistles and trills, flies, and photo by Deborah Lee, wanted to go too deep, but a happy ending poem. You know, it really does have a happy ending, you know, when you're lost and lonely and broken, you know, it can change your life, you know, it really can bring you out of this misery into a place of happiness and joy, which I think is the whole theme of spring and, you know, summer, you know, lifting us out of the darkness and into the light. So I thought it was a wonderful write. Excellent read, Daniel. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, yes. I thought it was very, very sweet as well. And I did like the happy ending, the little sandpiper finding his little sandpiperette, I suppose. And he whistles and trills as he flies. That's beautiful. It was lovely. I loved the metaphors. I loved the feeling of joy. And spring blossoming, yeah, very nice, very sweet. Thank you for sharing, Jenny.
Absolutely, great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Daniel, what did you think of the poem that you read?
I thought it was very beautiful. I've been reading a lot of Jenny's writings, and she's actually been writing about a personal issues she's been having, and it's been very kind of dark. And so it's really great to see her just writing something light and happy. I'm glad that she's still feeling that way. And I don't know if it was intentional, but I kind of got two things. I got it as a, on the surface, talking about an actual bird soaring and lost and lonely, hiding in a nest, but then a new day comes on and all that. But I also took it as almost maybe a man that she's talking about, a love that's kind of soaring her above, and she's watching him just really find happiness in life and being almost kind of bird-like above everything. At sundown, stars rise again, sparkling like fireworks in the skies. Finally, a new love begins, dawn to dusk, day or night. Spring can brighten up our lives. And it is true where, you know, with love, with anything, right, everything goes in cycles and ups and downs, and there's always that new springtime, that new beginning, that new day. And I get that really sense of hope that Jenny's saying out of this poetry as well. So, beautiful job, Jenny. I'm glad to see you writing something so positive.
Great comment, Daniel. Right. Thanks so much.
Let's see where we want to go next here. I'm going to put one right here right now. 1 second while I do that. And I believe this brings us right back to... Let me just make sure there's no SoundCloud. Nope, this brings us back to you, Weaver. You want to read the one I just posted?
Yep, okie dokie, no problem. So this is Summer Heat, Oak Blue 34. Scorch of summer was upon us. Leaves crinkled, some too full wilt. Seam behind the house retreated beneath the swelter. Ma planned a cold supper, Pa wiped sweat from brow. Little Alice reclined in a heated nap. Bingo the calico cat curled in a corner, dreaming of cool late-night mice patrols. Fritz the German shepherd lolled under the worn porch board, tongue hanging out, too hot to chase Mother Goose's goslings. Days until autumn were counted, record highs recorded somewhere in the Arctic, giant icebergs dismantled, while here ice tinkled in lemonade glasses. Shade finally crept over the horizon, in late of afternoon, when dark liquid clouds replaced floats of white wisps, heat lightning crackled in the sky. Somewhere, it rained. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. Yeah, you know, that was a fantastic poem. You know, this reminds me of where I grew up. You know, it was hot as heck during the day, and everybody just, you know, was exhausted from the heat. You know, the dog didn't want to chase anything. The cat would be curled up trying to sleep and dreaming of chasing mice and the evening trolls. You know, and you know, those kind of days tend to usually ended up in some sort of a thunderstorm or a lightning storm. So it was always a pleasure to, after that long, exhausting day, you know, sit on the porch and watch the lightning shows and listen to the thunder and, you know, enjoy a beer with a friend and just sit back and relax, you know. This is summertime. Let's love it. So beautiful job, Lou. Thank you for sharing. All right. What did you think, Daniel?
Well, first I want to ask where you grew up. I'm curious now because I know you're up in Canada now, right? That certainly can't be the really hot summers.
Yeah. I grew up in southern Ontario.
Oh, wow. So it was really hot in southern Ontario. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, actually, it really got hot with a high humidity, too. So, you know, it was super scorcher, and, you could barely breathe because there was so much moisture in the air.
Wow.
But, yeah, just a quick note. I grew up in a town called London, not London, England, obviously, London, Ontario. And Weaver actually is from Scotland.
Hi. Hi, lads.
Hey there.
Yeah.
So, oh, interesting. Okay, I know London. I know London, Ontario.
Oh, you do, eh? Well, yeah, they called it Forest City when I was a kid. I don't know if it is anymore, but yeah, it was a fairly big town. Lots of, you know, we were out from morning till the street lights went out. That's how our days were. And, you know, so we had a lot of leeway and we used to bike across town 6 miles in the heat. And, it was fantastic, though. Like I said, you know, it would always end up in a lightning and thunder show at the end of those hot days. So it was fantastic. And,
very cool.
What did you think of the poem, Daniel?
Yeah, I thought it was I thought it was great. It was really, really, really interesting. I like the the back and forth. It really did remind me of summertime too. Around here, it's been. I mean, we get it here too in New England, but it's been weird the last couple of days. It was almost 90 degrees yesterday, which isn't overly hot, but it was hot. And today, it's almost 40. So it's like a 50-degree difference in 24 hours, which is kind of crazy. And we had the thunderstorms just was it yesterday? Yesterday to bring it in. So kind of the same thing. But I like the back and forth, and I like all the different areas that Old Blue went. You know, talking about Ma and Pa, but then getting into the animals and dreaming of cool late night mice patrols. Fritz the German Shepherd lolled under the warm porch boards. And I like until we kind of recognize somewhere in the Arctic giant icebergs dismantled, while here ice tinkled in lemon glasses. I might be talking about global warming, but the way I think about it is sometimes if it's really, really hot or in the summertime really cold, I will like literally dream of cold times. I'll try to imagine myself in the Arctic or in a really cold place just to try to cool down mentally. I've done that before. So I could see Oak Blue thinking of these other things. But great little tone poem, I think, about summer and all the different aspects of it. So, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was great. Okay, so we can move on here.
I just read Weaver's comment in the group, and she said, "We have great summer days in Scotland. Last year we had three. LOL."
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. The same amount of days you had when the sun was out, right? Weaver?
That was it. Yeah, three. That was it. You sleep too long, you miss it.
You know, it was fun. I'll tell a quick story. I went to England and Wales for my honeymoon. This is back in the early 90s. We were there for 3 days. We were there for 2 weeks. And the sun literally came out one day, the very last day we were there. And I never noticed that it wasn't even out. All of a sudden, the sun came out. I was like, oh, my God, there's sun. I really didn't realize. It was absolutely beautiful. I loved it there. But it was just so funny that in 2 weeks we literally saw the sunshine like through the clouds one day. I loved it there, though. Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's see what we have next.
Weaver?
So, I believe this is... Oh, we didn't go to Weaver yet, of course. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. I actually have... I've gone off the page. Ah, no. Oh, I'm so bad. Let me see if I can... I thought it was wonderful. I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a very clever write and the most enjoyable thing about having a dog. I would love to have a dog again. I miss my old dog. So, yeah, absolutely wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. Am I talking
great
about the right one?
Thank you,
good.
Yep, you are.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. We have the next one posted, and I believe it is your turn, Gray.
It is. Thank you. This is called The Land of 100 Summers by Dark Knight of the Soul. I want to return again to the land of 100 summers, the land of 100 summers on beaches where toes tickle, squish between sands, and sunshine never failed us, when time seemed an endless ribbon, firm and taut at every tug. We didn't count sunsets or rainbows. We were too high on our own immortality. The land of 100 summers, when our books were blank pages and each new face a potential date in our history book or a forgotten page. Every song belonged to us, then our stories, and those days the stories were infinite. I think of all the summers wasted, of all the winter frosts not breathed in deeply, of the kisses never leaving lips that could have, that should have. They warned us, the elders, to take that kiss, to breathe in that winter air. But youth is by nature the foot, the fool, at least my youth. In our minds, perhaps we knew the truth, as we knew summer gives way to fall forever and always. But I guess everyone has to learn some better, bitter truths for themselves, like how finite a thing summers really are. End poem. Did you want to do the comments, Tim?
Great. I do, absolutely. Great read, Gray. Yeah, I was mutating over there. I'll start off. This is really great. It's something I think I talked about before, about the summers of youth. Again, I reminded me of my son. My son's he's going in to be a junior in college. And when I was in college, in the summers I worked, the last couple of summers he worked. This summer he didn't get a job, and I actually am very happy about that. Because you don't get a lot of summers, right? He's got basically after this one more summer, and then he has to work pretty much till he retires, at least that's the way it is in the United States. So I'm glad he's having a summer this year where he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have a ton to do. He has things to do, but, you know, he's able to take it easy and hopefully enjoy the summertime. Because I do miss those 100 summers, you know, those days of, you know, kind of school's out and you might have a summer job, but you really just can kind of enjoy life and it's more about all the fun things you want to do. What was that line there? But youth is by nature the fool, at least in my youth, as far as what he was talking about before that. You know, missing things, right? Take that in. I mean, everybody says that when they're older. You know, geez, if I knew what I know now, if I could go back, I would, you know, I miss those days when I was free. And I do remember understanding that, I think, after when I was in college. So I thought this is a real tribute to, you know, those summers of youth where, you know, you felt immortal and you just were... you know, be able to do what you want. You know, he says here, I think of all the summers wasted on the winter frost, not really breathe deeply. And I think he's probably talking about the summers, you know, as an adult. Not necessarily, you know, wasted, but you work the whole summer and you kind of, all of a sudden, summer's over and it's fall. And what did you really do? What are we working with? So, yeah, great. A lot of fun. And a great job, Dark Knight of the Soul. Why don't we go to you, Weaver? See what you think.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I thought this was a great write. I really did it. It does. These poems are making you think about what was, we don't often do that because sometimes it's a little hard to admit to ourselves that those times have gone. Time is relative, isn't it? It really is. Goes fast when the world is wonderful and goes slow when things are horrible. And that's just the way it seems to be, I'm afraid. I think we should have all been born old with all the experience of an older person. And then we just get younger and younger and we have that experience still and we can live our lives properly without making stupid mistakes. And then when we're very, very tiny, we just look for a womb with a view and we're set for life.
Exactly right. Wouldn't that be the days if you like you could start off old and you work then, and then when you retire you're actually young and you can enjoy everything and do whatever you
want.
That would be
exactly perfect.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I want to live in your world. We are absolutely
you're welcome. You're
great.
Welcome.
Absolutely. I like that. I love that. All right, great. You got to read it. What were your thoughts when you were reading it?
Well, you know, Weaver just reminded me of the worst summer I ever had. I spent it in a juvenile detention center because I was a bad boy. I was 15 and broke the law and got locked up for it away from, you know.
Oh, my dear.
That could have been lived, you know. And that was the hardest summer, you know. I mean, not being able to go out with my friends, not being able to do anything, just locked up in this house. I could do chores and get... You know, I made $20 a week doing chores because, you know, what else is there to do but do something or go crazy. So, thanks for taking me back to that summer that, you know, I wasted completely.
My pleasure, darling, my pleasure.
Yeah,
if there's a mouth I can put my foot in, I'll put my foot in that mouth. Sorry, dear.
That's okay. When winter did come, though, I did take big breaths of it because, I mean, we had some pretty deadly winters. And, I definitely did appreciate the summer for those winters because those winters were nightmares. We'd have winter snow blizzards that, you know, you'd jump in the air and in my snowsuit, we'd fly back 6 feet because the wind was so strong that you'd barely stand and face it because it was so cold. And so so strong. You really do need to breathe in those winter frosty air to appreciate what summer is, you know, and the beauty that, you know, each season holds for us. You know, it's might be a dark beauty, but it's still a beautiful thing regardless. I mean, winter is all-encompassing and all-intrusive, but, you can't have summer without winter. So, I guess there are places that do have this summer. But I think California is one of those places that don't really get a winter. But as far as I know, I mean, that's where I was going to move when I was, before I came out to British Columbia, I had debated going to California. But, there's a song called, I can't think of it, but it's about this couple that just hit the road, you know, and they live on the road because it's an endless summer. So, they have no children and nothing to worry about. So they just hit the road and went to live on it. So can't think of the name of the song, but it's a great song.
Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles. Is that it?
I don't think that's it, But same kind of concept, though. These people just said to hell that we're going to live on the road and, you know, just keep going. And, yes, Phil, that was me. You better believe it because it is. That's my truth, unfortunately. But, yeah, thank you so much for that poem, Dark Night of the Soul. And, we'll move on.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Phil, just for that comment, Phil said, not you, Gray, I don't believe it, so... Yeah, we're gonna have to get some more wild stories from Gray's youth in the future.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, let's keep going. I think it's my turn, and I just posted one by Maxwell Irvine. I'll give that a read. It is called The Magic of Summer. Summer. What is summer? chunks of pineapple oozing saccharin juice into the beige sand. Sticky fingers clutching the A&W 12-ounce of root beer, and chapped lips deliberately propped against the can's guiled rim, tinted sunglasses framing and shading your eyes, the iconic watermelon, magnitudes of cerise slices and dark seeds that litter the patio, the vibrant green rinds reflecting shards of freshly mown emerald grass, a rickety old lawnmower exhaling in the leaf-strewn dirt, the same dirt, where the colas and zinnias burst gorgeously into bloom, a live jazz band thundering majestically in the park, a bass solo that hiccups marginally on the congenial wind, a citrus sunset our eyes feast upon its astounding glory, a breathtaking hike, dusty meandering trails sprinkled with pebbles, minuscule crickets playing a symphony through the indigo dust, blazing fireflies bringing illumination to the warm cobalt night, a blinding moon casting pleasant shadows across the city. Maybe the world will never see this, but we can see it, and we'll never forget it. We'll never forget it. The magic of summer. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel, and I really liked it. You know, summer is a magical thing. You know, there's so much to live for in the summer. You know, you've got all these hopes and dreams just around the corner, and you break out of the house and go and chase those dreams if you're me. I cut myself a lot when I was breaking out of the, I'd be grounded in the summertime quite often, and just couldn't handle it, so I'd try to open the window, but of course it's painted shut, and what happens when my hand goes through it, you know? Or that's what kept myself open that time. And another time, you know, me and my brothers were going to go build a fort, so I borrowed my stepdad's X-Acto knife, and I put it in my back pocket. And of course, wouldn't you know, not realizing that the blade is fixed outward, I sliced myself open on that and grounded, again. But,
my goodness.
You know, the magic of it was so appealing to me that, you know, you couldn't coop me up, you know, regardless of my crimes. I was still going to get out. And so, you know, I really like this poem, you know. I like a breathtaking hike, dusty, meandering trails, sprinkled with pebbles, you know, minuscule crickets playing a symphony through the indigo dusk, and fireflies, my God, man, you know, we used to make lanterns out of jars of fireflies because there were so many that, you know, they were just so easy to gather them up and put them in a jar, and, you know, and then a blinding moon casting pleasant shadows across the sky. Maybe the world will never see this, but we can see it, and we'll never forget it. We'll never forget the magic of summer. Just a beautiful poem on youth and summer. So excellent, right? And thank you so much for sharing that, Maxwell Irvine. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I mute myself. Yes, alive. I've never seen a firefly. Oh, I feel so bereft.
Oh, really?
No, we don't have them here. Obviously, I would love that. Mind you, Scottish people are so mean. They would actually bring them inside and not bother lighting candles. They would just have these fireflies in the corner because we're a mean lot. But no, I've never seen one. Fabulous. So I thought this was so evocative. This is so, you could be there. It was so well written. Apart from pineapples in the sand, would you really want? I don't think so. Sand gets in the wrong places. We don't want that. Or the chap lips, if it comes to that. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. It's so vibrant, and I liked it a lot. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Daniel, you read it. What did you think?
I did. I thought it was really interesting, and I left. First reading it, I thought, Jesus, this is going to all be about food, which I have nothing bad to say about the summertime. Every season to me is about all kinds of food. But I liked how he just picked all these different things to really kind of describe. And I'm really glad that not only with all the different foods, and I love the way he kind of did it with the sticky fingers, just and it really, everything he talked about really, really described the way the everything is in the summer. I was really glad he had a band in there, the live jazz band. To me, that's what summer's about too, is just all over the place, and you go, you see kind of live bands outside. My band used to play in the summer. We're not going to be able to play this summer just because a couple of guys are gone, and I'm going to miss that. I absolutely love playing outside. It's so much fun. But then, and we'll never forget the magic of summer is a great way to end it. Summertime does bring so many memories that last a long time just because of those fun, magical moments. Going back to the band again, one thing I always think about is just the longevity of that type of a thing. Whenever I see people hanging out and having a picnic or just enjoying a band outside, a concert or something, I think about how many just thousands of years that's probably been going on. You know, we might have electronic music and we might have, other coolers and different kinds of food now, but go back, 5,000 years and people were probably still eating picnics outside and singing songs and playing music in the summertime. It's something that's just never really ended for humanity for such a long time. It was a great poem. I thought it was really, really fun to read as well too. And more craziness from Gray's youth coming out. I like it. I'm gonna have to we're gonna have to continue to see. He's gone from that to, hosting poetry and talking about peace and love. So there you go. You're attaining for your sins as a young man there. I also want to welcome Hope Soul and Nudo Cardoso to the board. And I didn't notice before, but I just noticed their avatars. I think they're a couple because it looks like their avatars are, to me, it looks like the same two people just in different poses together. So I think that if that's true, I think that's really interesting and beautiful. So thank you both for being on the board. We're going to keep going on.
Vote each other.
Oh, really? That's amazing.
It's a beautiful thing. Their love and showcase.
I'm absolutely gonna have to read a couple of your poems now. That's fascinating. We are a couple, huh? Excellent. It's so beautiful. I'm so glad you guys are here. Thanks for joining us. All right, we are going to continue on. Okay. Long distance relationship. True love doesn't distance doesn't stop any. That's for darn sure. So. True love will conquer distance, will conquer anything. All right, I read that one. So that brings us back to the lovely and talented Weaver of Dreams. I'm going to post this next one here by Paul Brott. Let me just get over here. Yeah, Weaver says, I'm taking notes on Gray and tearing out words for blackmail notes as we speak. That's right. Gray's incriminating himself from his past tonight. All right, let's post this here. Hey, we all had, please believe me, some things I think back and like, how did I ever survive that when I was a kid? So glad to still be around here. All right, I posted one by Paul Brott, and this is all for you, Weaver.
Thank you, my dear. Summer breeze, cotton dress. Lovely picture, too. I felt the summer breeze. She wore a cotton dress. Loving her, I must admit. I'd never doubt nor guess. We walked along the seashore, sunshine glistened through, the smell of salt, a taste or more, chopping waves for us to view. We talked of summers past and the fun we had together. Seems like only yesterday, when times were so much better. If I could name a time when summer meant the most, a summer breeze, a cotton dress, right now the time I'll boast. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I like the poem. It's got a great title, Summer Breeze, Cotton Dress. I mean, there is something beautiful about a cotton dress and a summer breeze. It was a very reverential and loving, bright, filled throughout. We talked of summer's past and the fun we had together. Seems like only yesterday when times were so much better. And then, he goes on to say that actually this moment is the time and the the best time and place that I've had, you know, and it's got to do with the summer breeze and your cotton dress, you know, and us together, of course. But I thought it was just beautiful, you know, very reverential and loving throughout. So great job, Paul Brott. And what did you think, Daniel?
I really like this one. It looks like it was entered in multiple contests and actually won 4 gold, and well-deserved, I think. I really love the summer breeze. I'm guessing is actually describing this woman as the summer breeze, which is so beautiful. You know, just to think of that memory of summer, that beauty of summer is this woman that he's with, and I, you know, I can totally understand that. You know, she, you know, the summer breeze, she wore a cotton dress. So summer breeze being, to me, you know, summer can be hot and stifling and all this stuff, but she's the summer breeze. She's the one that makes it all calm, all beautiful, all, you know, cool and loving. And that's just so amazing. And then the ending is just, I think, is what makes it the gold. I'm maybe going to read it again. She asked if I could name a time when summer meant the most, a summer breeze, a cotton dress. Right now is the time I'll boast. So just saying that time with her, that time of just hanging out. And that's some of my fondest memories with my wife as well, too. And it's the, you know, the thing that I still love together is just us just hanging out. You know, when we just go for rides just to go somewhere. And you know, we spent so much time as youth just me picking her up, and we didn't know where we were going to go. We just started just driving around to go somewhere and go for a walk or whatever. So, you know, I understand kind of what Paul's saying here. So, yeah. Great. It was beautiful. I really enjoyed this. This is a great poem.
Yeah, you know, a song came to my head when you were talking there. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing
yep.
the jasmine in my mind.
Me
but,
too.
Yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, it was lovely. This is obviously an established couple who've been together a number of years, which is wonderful. That is that's lovely to hear about. I've been married 3 times, so I'm not very good at it. So I do envy people who can do it right, yeah? And so lovely, really reverential, loving, and who can't love a summer breeze? It's just beautiful. So, yeah, I like that a lot. Oh, thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. All right, brother, what do we got?
All right, yeah, we're going to move on here. I figured since we have some special guests, let's read Hope and Nudo's poems. So we'll start with Hope. And I already forgot who read last. Who was the one that just read the last one? I had too much of this Sam Summer Ale I've been drinking that was
signed
already. Who just read that one?
I think it was me. But then again,
Yep, so we are going to Gray, and let me post this one right here. Just take a second. Click the wrong button, of course. Here we go. All right, if you want to read the one by Hope Gray, that would be great.
Sure. This is called Bon Appetit by Hope Soul. Take your hands, firmly grip this feminine silk. Unravel the delicate cream thread. Pull me in two. Taste all that flows through these blue veins. Let it spill down your forearms. Color the stone shade of your black work tattoo with the heart, with the heat that resides within me. Hold the cold steel blade. Slice open the pomegranate fruit. Expose each chamber filled with seeds. Tilt it back and allow the arrows to fill your mouth until you are satisfied. Our bed is covered in rose petal pluck. The scent of drunken summers covers satin sheets. Leave your finger imprints on my back. Butterfly peacock feathers to brush your broad chest as you press hard. As you press your hold against my arches, stain my spine with your Porto wine, deep hues. Take your time, kiss the horizons where I lay, climb the peaks of my mountaintops. Hours, our pale jade moon flesh sings out in harmony with cherry-crushed cranberries, bleeding in the dawn of the soul flares, applauding the romance novel that I write in the clouds with French-painted toes. This eternal spirit pairs with your honey milk. It has saturated every part of my being. Drink, eat, feast on me, and foam. And in her author's note, she says, I love the color red. It brings to my mind passion. I immediately thought of my partner ripping me apart and my love and want for him being exposed. The images of the black flowers made me think of a heart. The red butterfly made me think of a female fact, and the body flowers made me think of hunger. And last, that's what I had in mind while creating a poem of being devoured by your lover. See, I told you they're poetries about each other, usually.
Absolutely.
But, sorry, that was a great, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Great read. Great, awesome job. Probably better read by Hope for you than Nuno, but I'm sure you get the idea even from a masculine voice like Grace. But it was absolutely beautiful read, and you can see the passion here. That is written, and just like she says in the author's notes, I love the color it brings to mind passion. Amelia thought of my partner, and just a beautiful way of just, you know, saying being in love and being with somebody. You know, and to me, it is a, you know, when you're with somebody romantically, it is more necessarily than just lust. There really is a difference between just lust and just being with somebody and actually being with somebody in love. And it's just this desire and this oneness. It's a totally different thing, and you can see that in Hope's in Hope's writing. Where is that line here? The eternal spirit pairs with your honey milk. It has saturated every part of my being, and you really do kind of feel just that closeness. You know. You know, I can feel it with my wife when we're just lying together, and I'm just holding her. I mean, it's amazing what happens now. We've been together, my wife, forever and ever, and I'll feel stressed out. You know, sometimes I'm lying in bed, and when I roll over, just holding her while I'm sleeping, just putting my hands on her back or holding her arm or something while I'm sleeping, it almost like melts everything away, and it just relaxes me just from you know, forever being with her, and just it's that my safe that safe place, right? And you can feel that in here, not only lust and love, but that safe place that the author is saying that she feels like you can let her vulnerability go and just let this person take her. So I thought it was really, really beautiful and very well written, Hope. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go with Weaver. What are your thoughts?
As usual, never, ever lets us down. Beautifully written. I love that first stanza. It's so bold. I love your boldness. Take your hands, firmly grip the feminine silk. Unravel the delicate cream thread. Pull me in two. Taste all that flows through these blue veins. Let it spill down your forearms. Beautiful. Hope, that is really lovely. And I'm so pleased to have been able to see it and read it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Gray did an awesome job reading it. What are your thoughts?
You know, you can feel the love just bursting through this poem. You know, it's total, I guess you could say submission. I mean, you know, she's exposing her throat to the wolf and saying, drink, eat, feast on me. And, you know, there's nothing more powerful than giving yourself wholly to somebody such as she's doing here. So, you know, just a wonderful rite. And like I said, you can feel the love emanating through the rite. So great job, Hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, cool. Yeah, we'll do the one by Nuno now, and then we'll get back into our summer ones here. But we appreciate you guys coming on the board. So let me post this, and I will read it. And Hope says, thanks for all the wonderful feedback. And Nuno said, the ending is a nod to our first collaboration. I love it. That's amazing. Excellent. I'm like I said, I'm absolutely going to read some more of your both of your poems, and just kind of, now that I know the little backstory there, it makes it so much more interesting. All right, I'm posting this one by Nuno, and I'm going to give it a read. This is called The Comfort of Silence. I'm so used to the sound of this song, but from time to time, the song stops. When I wake up to a bed soaked in vomit, the song stops. When I hear the gun click on safe, the song stops. When I realize that I no longer have vertigo, the song stops. And sometimes life goes well. And sometimes I make peace with the world. And sometimes, for a few months, the song stops. End poem.
Great read, Daniel. And, you know, you can feel the pain that he suffers, you know. I do believe he has bipolar condition. So, but, you know, when you wake up, a bed soaked in vomit, the song stops. When you hear the gun click on safe, the song stops. Realize that I no longer have vertigo, the song stops. And sometimes life goes well. Sometimes I make peace with the world. And sometimes, for a few months, the song stops. You know, when you when you're always kept in, you know, place by a song that's playing in your head, you know, that's got to get old for sure, and you want silence. And you know, you can only pray for that to happen. And you know, it's a very powerful rite. You can feel the, it's just a brevity, but it has so much impact and power in it that, you know, you can feel the suffering that he goes through. And you know, I mean, it can't be easy for sure to have this going on in your life where you know, you've always got this song running through your head, and when it's gone, you know, it's like peace. And but you know, it's, you know, it's not going to last forever, and it'll be back. So that's a haunting thing for sure. And you know, my heart goes out to Nuno for his suffering and his pain. But you know, at least he's got hope in his life. So, you know, he found a woman with the right name, that's for sure. Beautiful job.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you think of the poem, Weaver?
Oh, yeah, this is hard. I hate to think of somebody suffering at all. And when it's beyond your control, and there's, you see, I always think if somebody's broken a leg, there's a plaster, and people write funny little things on the plaster. If you have chicken pox, people could see that you're not well. And that's not the same when you have a problem that no one can see, because you don't get understanding or sympathy because they can't see that there's a problem. And that's very hard to take. Not that I know, but I can imagine. And so that can't be very helpful at all. It must be awful. Silence is a thing that I need more than anything else. I need silence. So I can't imagine, you know, how it must feel if you don't have that. And again, as I say, beyond your own control, awful. But you are very brave, and we can tell that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Daniel, what did you think?
I agree with both of you, and I am sorry, Nuno, that you have to go through these things, but I do think that the song, tell me if I'm wrong in guessing this, but the song is a metaphor for depression, which I think is just a brilliant way of describing it as a song. And thinking about that, it almost reminds me of a song that, like, you can't get out of your head, right? Everybody's had that. We have some song. I've said this before in commentaries. I constantly have a song in my head. If you ask me, right now it's actually Bad Company because I heard it at the beginning of the show. But I always have a song in my head, like always. 6 years from now, say, in the middle of the night, damn, what song you have in your head? There's a song there. And sometimes it's some horrible song. Sometimes it's like a commercial I can't get out of my head for whatever reason. And that's what depression can be like sometimes, right? It's this thing that you can't stop it. You can't get it out of your head. And I think that's amazing there. And I love the hope that you do have with this, though, pun intended, with your girlfriend. Because sometimes everything is okay, right? And you know, I've been through depression. I certainly can't say, you know, like anybody else, like yours. But I've been through there too, and I used to get hopeless. And what I realized was it is because it would go back and forth, be depressed, and then I'd be all happy. So what I realized was one day that this is just going to be over. You know, I might feel like horrible right now, but it's going to end because it always does. So now if I get, it just happened the other day. I just got really sad. I was really tired, I think, and it was more annoying than anything else. I'm like, oh, I'm so depressed right now. I can't do anything, so I just went to bed and just figured I'll just wake up and hopefully tomorrow I feel better. And that's how it works for me, where yes, you might feel like this, but sometimes, you know, life goes on. You make peace with the world, and that depression, that song, you know, does stop. And like Grace said, it's a really powerful brevity, very, very well written, and I love that metaphor, Nudo. Awesome, awesome job. All right, cool.
Great comment.
Yeah, no worries at all. And, yeah, Nuno said, yes, that's it. All right, great. I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I got it right. Beautiful job. All right, cool.
We might as well get
that. Go ahead.
Might as well do F sharps, too.
Oh, sure. Let's do it. Is he on the board?
That'll be open poetry, I believe.
Sure, sure. Let's do it. Give me a second here, and I'll post that. And my turn to no, I just read. So it is Weaver's turn. So let's do that, and then we'll get back to the summertime. A nice little break, and then go to the summertime ones. So I'm going to post it here. And Nudo just said real quick that write is an old one from the book I wrote. I put it up here to test the new auto rank, and it's 11.34. I found it to be interesting. I didn't know there was a new auto rank they had here. I'm going to have to check that out. Let's see. All right. This is by Scott Sharp. And it is your turn, Weaver, if you would honor us.
I certainly will be happy to. So this is Reflecting Upon Death by S. Sharp. Now, can you hear me okay? I don't know if this new mic's working properly. Is it loud enough?
Yep. Perfect. Perfect.
Good. Thank you. Okay, reflecting upon death. The news hit, like the paperboy throwing the morning post, crashing against the steel storm door, reverberating like the pulse of blood shooting through my veins, morning coffee cooling in a cup long forgotten, like the past carried on hornet's wings, anger swarming, remembering the sting of absence, neglect. Death, conquistador of adverse feelings, posthumous olive branch, gladiator's tomb, Spartacus at Mount Vesuvius, escape, buried under the ashes of time, forgiven, yes, forgotten, no. End poem.
Wow, that's an impactful write too. I mean, it speaks to being done wrong and neglected in your life, and I like the past, carried on hornet's wings, anger swarming, remembering the sting of absence. You know, this reminds me of kind of my dad, you know, when my parents separated when I was a kid, probably 6 years old, and, you know, he lived on the reserve, and we lived in the city, and, you know, he'd always promise to come pick me up for the weekend and take me out and, you know, do all this stuff, and, you know, it broke my heart because he'd never be there, you know, even though I ended up not talking to him for, you know, the last 25 years of his life. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I never forgave him, but I never forgot it either. So, you know, when you're neglected, you know, there's a, it leaves a terrible hole in somebody's life. And, you know, especially when it's somebody who is, you know, supposed to be a parental figure in your life and he just abandons you. You're sitting there with your bags packed, looking out the window for hours and hours and hours, and always a no-show. So I just gave up. You know, he'd say, I'll come get you. I'd be like, you know, whatever. Some other lifetime, maybe. But so this reminded me of my dad and standing at the window waiting for him to show up, and he didn't. So, yeah, my heart goes out to you, Scott, and I hope that, you know, the pain passes in time. That's all I can say. So great write, and thank you for reading that, Weaver. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry you had to go through that, Gray. You know, that's always a tough thing. You know, parents are supposed to be there for kids, and if you have to, you know, somebody like that, when something like that happens, it's always tough. So sorry again, but I'm, you know, glad you're here. Glad you know, were able to share that with us. Yeah, I think that, you know, this is a tough one, and it is very interesting to really reflect upon that. I can speak of my parents. My parents both died 3 months apart from each other. And so it was interesting. They were both in nursing homes at the exact same time. And, you know, they both died very, very I don't say interesting, but it was different significance. My father, and I always feel bad about this, and I don't necessarily believe in psychics, but I've actually gone to some, and it was just very weird to hear my father say, like, Dan, like, so this guy say, Dan, will you stop worrying about this, which is exactly how my father would say it. But anyway, I was with him the very night before he passed away, and I remember debating, like, I hadn't slept in 24 hours, and I remember debating, should I stay here? Should I go home and try to get some sleep so I'm not, like, dying in a car wreck because I'm so tired? And I left, and I literally got home, lied in bed, and got a call from the doctor saying he passed away. So I wasn't there when he passed away, and I've always felt horrible about it. Whereas my mother, like, I was driving to the hospital and got a call from the doctor, and as I was walking, like they said, you know, you better get here soon. As I was walking down the corridor, I remember feeling something very strange. And about 4 seconds later, I got to the room, and she literally just passed, like, a few seconds ago. And it was almost like she was waiting. She was trying to do it before I got there so I wouldn't have to see it. And she was so peaceful when she left, like she was ready to go. And my father wasn't. My father was I could say, was the only time in his entire life ever. This guy was a Marine, tough guy. I ever saw him scared. It was just, and I miss them every day. And I it just comes to my mind all the time, you know. And reflecting upon death, you know, everybody has different ways they do that. I don't mean to make this so personal, but that's really what I got from this, is all these things. It brought to mind that. And, you know, that's what pure poetry could do. And I got that from Scott's poem. Boy, we carnal cravings and depression and death, we really diverged with the open poetry from the happy summertime things. I think that was a great little kind of yin and yang that we have going there.
Yeah, for sure.
These poems.
And I'd like to welcome Liu Yu to the show. Hello, Liu Yu.
Hi, Gray. Hi, Daniel. Hi, Weaver. Hi to everybody in the in the group chat.
Hey, Liu.
Hope and Nuno. Hi. And Stelina.
What's happening?
best busy day. I spend Saturdays with my mother. So it's really hard for me to get back in time, so...
Well,
I was
able. Making it.
Pardon me?
I said, thank you for putting the pedal to the metal and getting here. I appreciate it. Got to hear
your
giggles.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to Stelina being on the board. We got a party here. Everybody's here tonight.
What did you think of the poem, Liu?
Well, I didn't get to hear it read because I came on late. But, you know, I can understand a lot of the emotions that he expressed here, because I had a terrible father. Also, you know, he was in the military, and my uncle was in the military, and they were really hardcore. You know, and that's difficult for a child because it crushes their creativity, because they're so busy paying attention not to make their father angry. You know, I remember one time we found out when he came back from Germany that he had taken another family, another woman, and she was pretending to be my mother, and she had three kids, and he took those three kids instead of us. You know, I could go into more comments and other things that happened, but, you know, I understand, you know, when my father died, there's a lot of unsaid things. He never apologized for what he did. And then on his gravestone and the military thing, they put under their loving father, and I just liked that. It upset me more than anything, because he wasn't with us, and, you know, he had another son, and, well, anyways, I'll be able to talk y'all ears off here. So I really enjoyed the poem by Scott, and, you know, I send that hugs to him, because there's, you know, a lot of us that didn't have happy childhoods.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee, for sharing. Weaver, you read it. What did you think of the poem?
Oh, I mean, these poems are bringing up so many memories. Yeah, I can understand entirely, and I empathize so much. I had a horrible childhood, too. Welcome to the club. Yeah, not much fun. Not much fun. Yeah,
no.
I have always said, and I will always say, you have to take a test to learn to be able to drive a car. You have to learn to do your job so you can do it properly. But there is no exam for parents. They are allowed to just go in there willy-nilly and completely ruin little lives because nobody's taught them how to do it properly. So there you are. That's my bit of not wisdom, but the way I feel about it. They shouldn't be allowed. That's all I can say. So many people are damaged. So apart from that, that was a wonderful, wonderful piece of poetry that really reverberated with a lot of people, and it's great to get that kind of thing out so people don't think only them, and other people are also in the same position. So thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on here. Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel bad. I mean, you know, there are a lot of bad parents out there, and it's like the worst thing. If you're going to be bad at something, that's the worst thing to be bad at. And it's always great to see. I mean, even survivors, right? People who are able to get by that and learn from that, and usually they make the best parents. I will say that I actually had a very, very, very nice, loving parents. I had a tough childhood, more being picked on in school, but they were great.
Yeah.
My fault that I wasn't close to them. But I've learned from both ways, and luckily me, my son, and my wife are all close together. But I've seen it, and obviously heard from you guys, and it's just I don't understand how for anybody to be not nice or mean to anyone. I don't understand, let alone your own child or your own, like, you know, wife or whatever. It's beyond my even comprehension. So it's too bad to hear those stories. But appreciate sharing, obviously. So my heart goes out to everyone that had those issues. Absolutely. yeah, but great poems to be shared. And let's get on with the summertime ones. So Luyu, as the guest over here, if you want to read this one by Old Codger.
Yeah, I like that name. Summary.
Yeah,
summary. Yeah, you. Oh,
burn.
Sweat secretes from every pore until millions swarm the beaches. Midges, wasps, and ants galore. Mess when eating juicy peaches, easily the worst of seasons. Read above the best of reasons. and poem.
Great read, Leah. And I liked it, you know. It was short, to the point, and it really, you know, the acrostic captures the darkness that is summertime. You know, I mean, summer's beautiful and bright, but it also has sweat. It's also got millions of people swarming the beaches, midgets, wasps, and ants galore, and then masses when eating juicy peaches. So, I mean, you know, it's all here. Easily the worst of seasons. Read above for the reasons. Laugh my ass off. Great job, old codger. And you sure certainly have the energy of an old codger, for sure. Thank you so much for sharing. What did you think of the poem, Daniel?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I love the bleak outlook of summer, and the title was great. Summer summary. I mean, the whole thing was funny, but also old codgery. For interesting words, it is true. I mean, probably my least favorite. I think everybody always say, you know, spring and fall are their favorites. I might take winter as my least favorite over summer. I'm not sure. Sometimes just the cold and the shoveling, but there are those hot days, man. I'm telling you, like, I can always put more clothes on or more blankets on. You can only take so much off. You know, when it's like, you know, when it's 80 degrees at like 3 o'clock in the morning and you're trying to sleep, it's like the worst thing ever. You know, when it's just, so you're standing outside, it's so hot, and like you're dumping water on yourself, and you're like, what am I supposed to do? It's 105 degrees in the shade, you know, like there's nothing you can do. Yeah, sometimes those days can be rough. You know, summer in general can be fun, but the very hot days can be interesting. So that was a lot of fun, old codger. Great job.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, it was brilliant. Hi, Lou. Hi, good to hear you. Yes, really, really funny. I like funny. And old codger, what a brilliant handle. Very good. I might take it out myself. I could be an old codgerette. Yeah, keep calm and hate. Keep calm and hate summer. I'm with you, old codger. I'm in there. That's that first line. I mean, really? I can't even say it. Sweat secretes from every pore. It sounds terrible. Oh, my goodness me. Yes, I agree with you. I don't like summer very much either. But luckily, I'm in Scotland, so it's not really a bother. So thank you so much for sharing. Very funny.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Lee, read it. What did you think?
I thought it was a fabulous acrostic. This is something that all of us know. Us, we get our 100, 110, 120. Okay, but we can stay in air conditioning. You know what I mean? You just like being the air conditioner. The problem is when we get our monsoon season and the humidity feels like it's as high as the summer heat, and you just, I mean, there's no air, refrigerated air, water coolers, nothing helps. The only thing I can recommend for Daniel is, you know, fill the tub up with some water and throw some ice cubes in there. That'll get you all perky.
Yep. Absolutely. And Phil on the board said she's more of a curmudgeon. I'd say I'm more of an old coot or an old fart is the way I would describe myself.
You know, I got to look up what codger means.
It just means an old guy that gets irritated very easily and is quite mean to young people. That's a codger.
Yeah, it says an elderly man, especially one who is old-fashioned or eccentric. So now I know.
I love it. I have more and more sympathy to that every day. That's for sure. cool. Did everybody comment? Or are we moving on to the next one?
Yeah, we're good to go.
Excellent. All right, great. And it is, and Jenny's on. Hey, Jenny, how's it going? We read your poem earlier today, and it was awesome. So you can listen to that later if you haven't. We got a full crew here tonight, standing room only. And this is your turn, Gray, I think, to read this one by Karuna K.
Okay, so this is by Karuna Kay, and it's called Summer's End. The leaves were a lovely deep green when the summer sun upon them blazed. But I sense now the cool of the early morning, heralding the coming of nights long and cold and the end of the sunny days that stretch on. I see already these sun-weary, fading trees droop as do wilted flowers while they await the blaze of brown, crimson, orange, yellow, which will crown the coda of their lives. So the sap of an aging summer, albeit too soon, bides its last days, while fall, young and fresh, watches from yonder hill, ready to take them all over. End poem.
Awesome, Gray. Great job. Weaver, let's start with you there.
Sorry, I was on mute. I do apologize. Hang on a second. I'm not in the right place as usual. I was trying to find out what coda meant. Yes.
No worries.
I do that. I shouldn't do it when I'm supposed to be listening. Right. I thought this was lovely. It is. It's a sad thing. I mean, we all complain about the winter making us cold and the summer making us hot. But then when summer starts to fade and we're facing autumn, and we immediately start to think about cold, dark, long nights, and the sunny days are going. And yeah, I don't really feel much about the change of seasons, because I used to drive a motorbike and you were out in all weathers, you know, sun, wind, snow, it didn't matter. You just put on more clothing, as it were. So I don't really bother too much about it. I don't get upset when it's not bright sunshine, and I don't get miserable when it's grey skies. I'm very lucky that way. It's cool. Again, being Scottish, we're a bit that way inclined. But I thought this was lovely, looking at all the different things that show you that summer is going. And, you know, it's going to disappear quite quickly, and we're going to start getting that brown. I love the trees turning colours of orange and yellow. I love that. It's lovely. So this is very well written, and it really does bring to your mind what it's like to look at summer fading behind you and autumn coming fast. So well done, and thank you for sharing.
Excellent, Weaver. Thank you. And a coda is like the end of a song. It's like the last movement of a song. Mm-hmm. I only know that because it's a musical statement. Usually I rely on everybody else in the shows to tell me all the big words because I don't know them, but
yeah.
That's the one I know that
one. Is it
one,
like a finale, something
yeah.
that is final?
Cool. Thank you for that. That's another word I've learned. I like it.
Cool. And, then let's go with Luyu and then Gray for the comments.
You know, this is beautiful. I have so many flowers and desert flowers and desert trees, and each of them is this beautiful different color of green. Nothing is the same green. And you know, I'm just I look at the leaves and I just admire the way that they've been made and the way that they've been created, you know. And for us, we really don't have those fall colors. Because of where we live, everything turns a beautiful golden yellow. And, you know, it makes me so sad when the trees, you know, they start fading, as she says here, and, you know, the beautiful colors and will crown the finale of their lives, that last sentence, coda. And, you know, for us, we have long summers. So when we get a different change in winter and spring and, you know, fall, I am so happy. I hate being boiled like chicken. No, thank you.
Where are you, Lou? Where are you talking about?
I live in the Chihuahuan Desert.
Oh, wow. Oh,
in the
okay.
Southwest.
Yeah, it's hot. And it's very hot
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it is hot.
All right, I'll stop complaining about being hot here in New England. Then it's nothing like that.
I only have to stand out in the sun 5 minutes and you turn red.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. All right, cool. And Gray, what'd you think you got to read it?
You know, I thought it was great. I really liked the idea of Autumn hanging out just over the hill, waiting to take over and, you know, take control of everything. And, you know, so I thought it was fantastic, right? You know, it really paints a wonderful picture. But, you know, change is something that comes, you know, we all have to face it. And unfortunately, the end of summer is one of those times, unfortunately. I mean, I don't live in the desert, so I ain't complaining about the summer, that's for sure. But, yeah, you know, I thought she really captured the changing of the season quite beautifully.
Excellent, excellent. All right. Let's crack along here, and Weaver, I believe it is your turn. If you want to read this one by Yosri, Randa Yosri.
Yes,
I think it's your turn, Daniel.
Oh, is it mine? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can do that then. And oh, please correct me. I get very tired this time of night, so sometimes I lose track of the world and what's happening. So yeah, all right, and then we'll go to Weaver. So Randa Yosri, this is, and anybody who's on the board, you should check out the picture that she posted. What a beautiful picture, painting that she posted with this. This is called "We Chat Along." We chat long. Excuse me. Perching, throwing the fishing line, recalling all the best old times, with the highly attentive social lake, my blithe tails splash against its pier. In a festive glee, the golden coin sun offers spectacular glossy displays throughout the fragrant forest, with shredded pieces of paper clouds festooning the vast plate sky. A lazy pirogue lays on the bayou, sunbathing, enjoying the languor of a siesta on a breezy summer day. A battalion of trees attire leafy lime shirt sleeves lining up staley for the homecoming parade. The live, well-trained band of chuckling robins chirps country music with passion. Lurking gators station themselves on the swamp, patrolling its banks to guard the celebrity cabin. In such relaxing surroundings that possesses the secret of pleasant marvels, my mind jumps with an ecstatic salute and poem. And she says down here, I don't know if it's pirogue, a dugout canoe-type boat used to get around in the shallow swamp waters. Interesting. I did not know that. End poem.
Great read, Daniel. And thank you for catching the awesome notes there. But, you know, I liked it. You know, it's... It does take you to the cabin by the lake. It has that kind of a feel. The lazy pirogue lays on the bayou, sunbathing, enjoying the languor of a siesta on a breezy summer day. You know, if you can imagine that boat having a life, then, you know, I could see it totally, you know, taking advantage of not having to work and just chilling out, sleeping on the lake, you know. Fantastic imagery, and I thought it was well written. So thank you for sharing that, Rhonda. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, this is so cool. That picture is gorgeous, isn't it? I love that first stanza. Perching, throwing the fishing line, recalling all the best old times, with the highly attentive social lake, my blithe tail splash against its pier. But I wasn't very keen with it when we came to the crocodile gators. Don't like them so much. No. Big teeth and bad manners. Yeah, I thought it was really lovely. I really enjoyed it. And the idea of the boat having a day off was so cool. Yeah, in festive glee, the golden coin sun offers spectacular glossy displays. I think this is beautifully written. Each line has got something in it that you think, oh, that's really cute. For shredded pieces of paper clouds, wonderful. The imagination is incredible. I love it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Randa.
Great comment, Weaver. Thanks so much. And Daniel, sir. your comment. What did you think of the poem that you read?
Yes, yes. And yeah, alligators, I've seen them. I'm an alligator's first. I've been in Florida and I've been on a golf course and seen them, and they're interesting and scary. I mean, they're basically dinosaurs, right? It's an actual dinosaur that's walking
mm-hmm.
around, which is very, very interesting. They are scary. I thought it was fun and beautiful and very, very, very descriptive of the poem. Of the picture. I honestly can't stop looking at the picture. The water in it is fascinating to me, and I think it's really, really captivated of that. I really like the lazy pirogue lays on the bayou, sunbathing, enjoying the languor of the siesta day. I like the personification that she used in here of the boat just kind of being lazy, which it really, you know, it really does. You feel like in those summer days, like everything is lazy, right? So I really enjoyed that, and the band of chuckling robins chirping country music with passion. I really liked that as well too. So great imagery and a fantastic job, Randa. I really enjoyed it. Alrighty. Now it is Weaver's turn, I believe. But please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm always up for that.
it's always
well deserved. Always well deserved.
You have to remember now that it's 25 minutes to 5 in the morning for me, so if you're tired, I'm going to make a real mess of this.
Yeah, Jack, I don't know how you do that. I really don't. If I don't get at least like 14 hours sleep, I can't last. I'm joking. I don't sleep that much, but you know, I need a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've posted that for you, Weaver, if you want to go for it.
I certainly do. Thank you. That summer by Forgotten Dream. Remember that August when together we laid on hot, sticky pavement, melting into the ground, slowly drowning in mirages created by the callous sun. I pined to crack the silence, but swallowed ardor like icy water. Eyes locked across still air, we breathed in unison. Fingertips grazed my inside wrist, sweaty skin just touching. Laying supine until the evening came, the first stars twinkle in dark eyes. Periwinkle winds whisked by, releasing us. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And, you know, I liked it that summer, you know, when they met and they shared a touch, and that led to, you know, the rest of their life together. So it's amazing, you know, how time spent, you know, just chilling out, you know, hallucinating to the sun and, you know, feeling the heat and, you know, and then the sweaty skin just touching, laying supine until evening came. The first stars twinkled dark eyes, periwinkle winds whisked by, releasing us. You know, that's fantastic right there. And it was a beautiful write. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that so much. Forgotten Dream. What did you think, Daniel?
I thought it was really beautiful, and that kind of remembrance that that she has of this love, it sounds like, and it's an interesting, you know, idea that I do believe in, that when you are you're distracted by anything, especially love and amorous feelings, it can block out anything else, anything bad, including the heat, including the cold, and just make everything beautiful. So, slowly drowning in mirages created by the callous sun, I pine to crack the silence with swallowed a door like icy water. Eyes locked across still air, we breathe in unison. You know, they're in this. It sounds like this really hot, you know, oppressive location, but it's the love that they remember of that, because it kind of drowns out all of the heat and all of the oppressiveness of that. So I thought it was beautiful and really great feelings. Nice job, Forgotten Dream.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Liu, what did you think?
Well, I'm really familiar with this poem. You know, the August sun is just something you don't forget. These are memories of people, you know, that have lived in the desert and the desert heat. you know, where you could fry an egg on the pavement and, you know, you would get headaches from being in the sun because it just would literally cook you. And do you remember who you were with and who you were holding hands with? Because your hands would get sweaty and you would dry them off and then hold hands again. And your arms, when they touched, they, you know, it perspired. But the sun would catch it and it would glisten almost like a crystal. But I really like the ending stanza because I grow periwinkle. Periwinkle winds whisk by releasing us. You know, when those winds finally come in and you find some shade and it dries off your skin. And, you know, these are just, you know, hot but wonderful memories.
Great comment, Ryu. Thank you so much. And Daniel, what did you think? Or sorry, Weaver, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. Sorry, I was doing Daniel's voice. Very good. I'm just kind of wondering, why are they lying on the pavement? It seems a little odd, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just a thing.
You do. I don't know why, but you do.
Well, there's another thing I've learned. Oh, my. Yeah, I thought it was lovely. You could feel the heat. I do Reiki, so my hands are always burning hot, so I can't hold hands with anybody because it burns them. But so I can understand the sweaty skin. Yeah, it's weird. And my hands tingle if somebody's in pain near me. That can be a bit annoying too. It's great fun, though. It's great fun. But, yeah, I don't hold hands very often. So, yes, I thought this was... You know I'm weird. I'm trying not to be, but you know I am.
No.
So,
you're not weird. No.
Okay, thank you.
You're special, and we love you.
Oh, no, don't say I'm special. I think I should have one of those hug yourself. I have one of those hug yourself jackets on. You know the ones that you tie on? No.
Hey. you want to be weird. I mean, who wants to be normal, right? It's that old saying
exactly.
Of why do you want to be normal when you can be abnormal? It's better, you know?
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. I agree with that, yes. I'll live with that. That's good, that's good. Yeah, we don't want to be normal.
No, it's boring.
No.
Boring.
Boring. Yep, agreed. Pinch fuck you, me cope, Daniel.
Exactly. All right, cool.
So cool.
I think we've been through all the comments, so I think it's time to move on. And
yep.
I have one called Daisy Chain Dreams by Incandescence. That's for you, Liu, if you can read it.
Okay. Be my pleasure. Daisy Chain Dreams by Incandescence. Trampling wheat fields in perpetual dusk, barefoot on this gold-paned landscape, dragonflies flutter like it's their last June, as evening glare prisms ruffle wings, like coruscating tea lights floating aimlessly on a warm wind whispered by the coast. Bees buzz and paddle neglected nectar. Dandelion papooses parachute high, resembling flitting fairies, nature's Matilda. Daisy chain headbands and opaline linen carry grass stains, scars of our rapture. We're carefree with childlike confidence, sing in tandem to summer's ensemble, chasing the sun as if tomorrow won't dawn. Until we fall onto our backs in a weary bliss, fingers interlace as we catch our breath, starfish together like a paper chain placed on this vast inverted canvas. Moist grass tickles napes of our neck as almond-like eyes squint at the heavens. We sketch scores and screenplays on the sky with the tip of a freshly plucked feather reed, stenciling billowed clouds from the azure and luring them tamely towards our lips, drawing into our lungs and holding our breath, smiling at each other as our cheeks balloon, the blowing away, laughing as we choke and pump.
Kate Reedley. And I liked it, you know, that was a wonderful poem. It captures love and, you know, summer quite beautifully. And I really enjoyed his imagery. Trampling wheat fields in perpetual dusk, barefoot on this gold-panned landscape. Dragonflies flutter like it's their last June, as evening glare prisms rippled wings like carousing key lights floating aimlessly on a warm wind whispered by the coast. Bees buzz and paddle, neglected nectar, dandelion, papooses parachute high, resembling flitting fairies, nature's militia. Not Matilda, do you? Just, you know. Sorry. you did a beautiful read on that, Lou. Thank you so much. And that was a great write. So thank you for sharing that incandescence. And what did you think of the poem, Daniel?
I thought it was beautiful, and I like the beginning part, really the description of the trampling wheat fields, barefoot on the gold-paned landscape, dragonflies flutter, I think it's their last, bees buzz and paddle, neglected nectar, which is really interesting, dandelion papooses parachute high, that's a great alliteration, and I just love dandelion papooses, that's amazing. That's an amazing description. So this whole description and then these two are kind of together just playing around. And what it brought to mind to me was, I know this is, he's talking about the daytime where the almond-like eyes are squinting into the heavens to kind of just look around. But I remember some fond memories of my wife and I. We used to go up to Rockport, Massachusetts. I've never been there, but it's just this coastal town. And there's this place we could kind of go and we would be able to, we just kind of lie on the rocks, and it was comfortable. It was rocks, but it was comfortable, and we just kind of stare up at the stars and try to memorize the constellations. And it reminded me of that, of just kind of sitting there, and all nature was around us. There was, you know, the ocean and the rocks, and there was all the kind of birds and so forth, and then the beautiful little coastal town with the boats and everything. But we'd just kind of stand there, and like I said, just try to. And I still remember some of the constellations today from doing that. And just kind of picking them all out, and it reminded me of that. It was very beautiful and loving. I thought this was really, really great incandescence. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great memories. Thank you for sharing that, Daniel. Appreciate it. And Weaver, what are your thoughts? Yep.
It was lovely, wasn't it? It really was. I genuinely enjoyed every line. I particularly like daisy chain headbands and opaline linen, carry glass stains, scars of our rapture. Because, you know, you didn't care. You were carefree. You were having fun. And there's nothing nicer than the smell of grass, you know, if it's freshly pulled or crushed or whatever. So it must have been lovely. Dancing in tandem to summer's ensemble, chasing the sun as if tomorrow won't dawn. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Very well written, and I loved the play of words. It just took me along. Yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Incandescence.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Liu, what did you think? You creative soul, you.
I really enjoyed this. It you know, the first two stanzas just are magical. And they enrapture you in the beauty that they're surrounded by. What I love is when you're happy and you're looking at the stars, you know, like in New Mexico, Big Bend area where there's not light, you know, you can see all the different constellations that you can't see anymore. I've described it as like black velvet and somebody just threw diamonds across it. It is literally breathtaking. And, you know, that just brought back memories. And also I really like where he talks about the feather reed, you know, when you pluck those and you blow them and you watch the seeds go and, you know, and just the laughter that is there and, you know, also chase each other around. They do hurt when you get whipped with them. So, you know, you had to learn to run pretty fast. But, you know, that's what I, that, you know, where he's, you know, he talks about that. You know, it says that they drawing into their lungs and holding our breath, smiling at each other as our cheeks balloon, then blowing away and laughing as we choke. You know, those moments that you don't forget of not only being enraptured by nature, but being enraptured by another human that you're in love with.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you so much.
All right. I think we have time for at least one more brevity. We got about 9 minutes left. And Gray, it is your turn to read this one.
Alrighty, partner. We've got A Cold Summer Evening by Lani Kada. Through fields of yellow, green, and snow, down the river bend to where dandelions grow, along the gentle breeze and frostbite, a single white petal in flight. Yellow flowers scraping against the grass shiver, droplets of water splash, little birds all gone home, seeking the warmth of those they love most. With the kiss of a petal in flight, a wish of love in the night, reminiscing something lost, walking down the path the sun crossed. End poem. And I like
excellent,
it, you know,
right.
It's, oh yeah, right, yep, sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
No, just saying excellent reading, that's all. Keep going, go for it, please.
Thank you.
Go ahead and comment if you like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I liked it. It has winter coming, you know, and the little birds are all gone. They're seeking the warmth of those they love the most, you know, because they need to be home, and it's not where summer isn't. So I thought it was a beautiful, heartfelt write on the subject of the coming of winter. So beautifully done. Thank you for sharing, Lana. Lani.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great. I enjoyed it as well too. I thought a cold summer evening is very interesting, and you do get those. I mean, maybe not in some places, but in New England we do sometimes get those colder evenings where, you know, it was maybe only in the 70s or something, and at night it actually goes down to the 50s, and you get that a little bit of respite, and you get that kind of beauty that comes out again where you're in that. To me, those are the perfect temperatures, right? Of the like you know, 50s at night, maybe 70s or 80s during the day, and you can just kind of feel the warmth and emotion with this. So I liked all the imagery, and I thought it was really, really beautiful. Great job. Why don't we go with Weaver?
Okay, yes, it was. It's beautiful. I'm trying to get my head round through fields of yellow, green, and snow, down the river bend to where the dandelions grow, along the gentle breeze and frostbite, a single white petal in flight. Now, that is certainly a cold summer's night or evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wow, that must be so, you know. Maybe it's me. I don't, you know, we don't get that kind of thing happening. But that sounds lovely that you have the heat of the summer and then in the evening you have these lovely breezes and you still have the flowers and you know the sun's going to be there tomorrow. So, yeah, I thought it was lovely. I really did. I enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing with us, Lani.
Great comment.
Yeah, of course.
All right, go ahead, Daniel.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I just agree with her. So, Liu, if you want to take us out here.
Yeah, what I enjoyed about this poem is how all of our summers are different, different areas of the planet, wherever you, you know, the white petal, I don't know if that was the snow veil starting to come up. But, you know, she was listening, you know, there were the birds weren't singing and being outside. You know, she says little birds all gone home seeking the warmth of those they love most, where they snuggle together and keep each other warm. But there's such a deep sadness in the last stanza. With the kiss of a petal in flight, a wish of love in the night, reminiscing something lost walking down the path of sun-crossed. You know, she's remembering somebody that she loved and who kept her warm at night. And, you know, now they're lost. I don't know how they're lost, you know, at the left of Morph, who is in death. And, you know, and then she's walking down the path the sun crossed, you know, those footsteps and memories that you take with somebody that's no longer with you. It's beautiful and sad.
Yeah, I agree. Great comment, Lee.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we have a kind of weird timing here because we've got 4 minutes left. I don't know if you think we have enough time for another poem or if we should just chat for a bit and kind of wrap it up. And a little tight to squeeze one in.
Yeah, there is. But, I mean, the other one, the next one's pretty short.
How much do you love that name? Yeah, I'll give it a quick read. Absolutely, let me post it here. Frank Clusterbuck is my, besides Old Todd, that's my favorite one. It's a great name.
I agree.
All right, and this will be a fun way to end it. So this is called I'm Afraid to Not Be Your Everything. I'm feeling bad, can't get you your Maserati or even a Mercedes or even a cool VW. The jungle out there trying to hold on to your wee toehold. It's all a pile of shit. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enough with the capitals. Anyway, whatever. Where the fuck are the aliens? So I think I went off the point. I was wanting to be everywhere all at once, wanting to be your everything, and I ended up not even one. And
aww.
Wow. you know, I liked it. You know, when you want to be everything, but you're absolutely nothing, that's got to be a terrible thing. And, you know, but if the aliens are out there, they're out there, I believe, so. fantastic. Great read, Daniel. Thank you so much. What did you think, Weaver?
I loved it. It's a jungle out there. I love the capitals. I just love people shouting. It's so cool. But I would say it's a pile of shite. Obviously, you spell it differently. So it's a pile of shit, which sounds so much nicer. It really does. You think about it. You know, everything's going to shit. Everything's going to shite. Definitely shit. I liked it a lot. And I don't know where the fucking aliens are, but I think they're living very close to me. So, yes, it was a lovely way to end it. Thank you so much, Frank Gosserbuck. What a name.
Great comment.
I want that.
Thank you.
I want that.
Thank you for sharing. Lee, what did you think?
Well, I was reading Fuzzy Butthead's comment. I hate materialism so much. Materialistic people should be abducted by aliens and replaced with sensible qualities. You know, in the end, when you can't find love, somebody is looking at what they can get from you. You know, it's just not worth it. And so, you know, in the end, it says wanting to be your everything and end up not even one. So you might have better luck with the aliens. Go to Roswell. There's plenty.
Oh, my goodness.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you so much. And what did you think, Daniel?
With the 1 minute left, I'm going to think it's great. And all I have to say is I'm so happy to live in a world where Fuzz D. Butthead can comment on a poem written by Frank Clusterbuck. That makes me happy beyond belief. And that's a good way to end the night, I think, right there.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, everybody, for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, most especially your time. Great to have you on board, Daniel. Looking forward to many more shows. And
absolutely, thank you.
I appreciate you all. Much love, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night, John Boy.